Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Welcome back. For us, this is hour number four.
Yep.
And it's gone by quickly.
Three down, one to go.
3 hours down, one to go. If you have a question for Dr. Mixon, you just simply need to call. I've not given out the number yet, I don't think. And here's the number, 1-888-312-5757. We've got one person on hold. We're going to go to Sue and Graham in just a moment. But for the rest of you, if you've got a question, and it does not have to be about the virus, like today, it's kind of nice. We're back to sort of the normal
routine. Few virus calls
today.
That's
right. We do have one coming up about the mask again.
Okay.
And in fact, that's Sue. In fact, let's go to her now while I remind everybody else, if you have a question for Dr. Mixon, pretty much anything goes at 1-888-312-5757. If you call right now, bang, we'll get you on right after Sue. In the meantime, Sue, welcome to the program.
Hello, Sue.
Good morning, you two.
Good morning. How can we help?
So I'm not, I wish I was only 60. I am 69 now.
Uh-huh.
And I have more than one comorbid conditions.
Okay.
I cannot stay home for 3 years.
No, you can't.
So, you know, life is full of risk. And I would like to know, if I wear a mask and maintain social distancing, well, that's all we can do, right? Besides take supplements that would help boost our immune system and
for the moment. Okay, well, a couple of things. First of all, yes, masks are important for you. Good social distancing is important. You don't have to lock yourself in the house, however. I want you out and getting some exercise on a regular basis because the exercise boosts your immune system, makes you more resistant to infection, and gives you a better chance of survival if you do get infected, okay? So moderate daily exercise is important. Now, you don't have to be, you know, in the gym with a lot of other people. You know, just trot on down the street. Yeah, most suburban areas here, my wife says she doesn't understand Americans. They never leave their houses. The only time they're out of their house is in their car. You drive through suburban streets and you almost never see anybody out walking. It's rare.
Mm.
And so you got lots and lots of empty sidewalks and suburban streets to walk in. So get out there and you don't have to get within 100 feet of somebody else 99% of the time. And if you are going to be near someone else, put your mask on. That's pretty straightforward. Do you live alone or do you live with someone?
I have a husband.
Good. Take him with you.
All right. Well, we have an acre and a quarter. We could just walk around the perimeter of our acre and a quarter.
Yes, do it.
And that would suffice, you know.
Yes,
we have
absolutely.
Lots of yard work to do. That would work.
Yes, it's going to be glorious weather coming up. Yes, you know, we're going to be up in the upper 60s again here pretty soon. But, yeah, get out, be physically active. That is good for you. And, yes, wear your mask. Now, there are some other things you can do. Okay. The hydroxychloroquine that you heard about for in the early stages, it turns out that is a very good prophylactic drug. And now you should not use that.
Okay, so I can ask my doctor to prescribe that for me?
Yes, you can. And he can do so. Now, he will not prescribe it if you are subject to cardiac rhythm disturbances. Okay. People who have heart disease that put them at high risk of rhythm disturbances shouldn't use that drug. But, you know, for most people, it's a perfectly safe way. But there are cardiac issues with people that are predisposed. But that drug does a very nice job of preventing infection in the first place. Next step, of course, is hopefully in September or October, we are going to have our first vaccines available. Typically, this would take four or five years, but, you know, Mr. Trump has basically beat the FDA about the head and shoulders. They've shortcutted everything. And, you know, the pharmaceutical companies are saying that they have multiple drugs on trials right now looking for safety, and they're going to pick the one that seems to have the best profile and ratchet it up. The prediction has been that by October, they will have the first 100 million doses available. That's one third of the country could be treated.
By this October?
By this October.
Wow.
They're really putting a rush on this, you know, the equivalent of the atomic bomb move. I mean, they got enormous number of people working very, very hard and fast. It's never been done this fast before in human history. But 100 million doses, if they give those to the oldest third of Americans, we will be beyond this. And they're saying the prediction is they can do 100 million by October, 100 million in November, and 100 million by January, which would basically be enough to vaccinate everyone in the country by early in the year. So, you know,
that's good.
If we're prepared and social, now this all presumes that everything goes right. You know, that when they do the safety testing, red flags don't come up and require more testing.
Yeah.
It means that the manufacturing complex that they're putting together for this, which is a government multi-industry project, the pharmaceutical companies are cooperating. There's like 10 companies that are going together to build a emergency pandemic facility specifically so that next time a pandemic comes about, it will be built and prepared.
Yeah.
And from the time they get the virus's genome, within 30 to 40 days, they should be able to be cranking out vaccine.
Hmm.
Okay, for the next pandemic that
comes
along.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is preparation that has never happened with previous pandemics. So I've got to give Trump some real kudos for arranging this and getting the companies to work together to do this. Yes, what's your other question?
Yes. Okay, so middle of February, I was experiencing a lot of stress. And I ended up getting a virus. I don't think it was, because I'm pretty sure I'd be dead if it was COVID-19.
Maybe.
Anyway, about March 1st, I went to a doctor, and he prescribed doxycycline. Well, doxycycline doesn't do anything for a virus.
Right.
So I took it as directed, and I didn't get better.
Okay.
And so I finally called my doctor that I use about March 14th or so, maybe the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I had taken a drug a few years ago for a condition that was similar to what I'm experiencing now, and it worked. And so I told her what it was, and she prescribed it for me.
Okay.
Azithromycin.
Oh, sure.
So I took it as directed, and I still felt bad. So I waited, you know, hoping that maybe, you know, if I wait a little longer, I'll feel better. Well, I didn't. So I called her again, and I said, maybe I need a second dose of that. So she prescribed it for me, and I took it. And I'm feeling fine now, but it took until the about the 20th of April before I finally felt better. So then last week, I'm listening to your show, and I hear that people with kidney disease should not take azithromycin.
Yep. It puts you at higher risk of kidney failure.
Well, great. So, you know, I only have one functioning kidney, and it's not functioning at 100%. So, fortunately, I'm taking three kidney support supplements that I've been taking for years. And I'm hoping and keeping my fingers crossed that I'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, azithromycin is a macrolide, what we refer to as a macrolide antibiotic. And again, it's not designed for viral illnesses. It's designed for bacterial illnesses. Although it
At the time, my computer wasn't working right, so I couldn't look it up and find that information out. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, but it doesn't necessarily damage your kidneys. It puts you at higher risk of kidney failure.
Okay.
You know, if your risk was 5%, this may raise it to 8%. Right. If your risk was 20%, it might raise it to 25%. So there is a significant increase in risk, but it is not necessarily damaging. Lots and lots of people take azithromycin and have no deleterious effect on their kidneys at all. So don't get too paranoid.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. Made me feel a lot better now. So I should ask my doctor to prescribe the hydroxychloroquine.
Right, but once more, I'm not sure about risk with renal problems with hydroxychloroquine either. That's one I'd have to look up.
Okay, I'll look it up.
Okay, yeah, or have the doctor look it up because she's got access to to some sources that are harder for you to get. She can either your doctor can get into the National Institute of Health database, pull up every paper, and if she simply puts in hydroxychloroquine and renal, it'll come up with every kidney issue that's ever been reported to the FDA. Okay. All right. But good luck, my dear. Wear your mask when you're in public and stay away from folks pretty much as practical. And as soon as they get the vaccines available, you go get it done and you tell your doctor you want it and you want it early. But you might also tell your doctor you would like to get the antibody test. I know that we are going to have them that we're going to do for our patients for free here probably not until late June, early July, unfortunately. But right now, LabCorp is doing a good antibody test. It's about $50.
Can anybody get it?
If your doctor orders it.
It has to be a prescription.
It has to be ordered. But it's $50 to get the antibody test through LabCorp. And you just go to one of the LabCorp draw stations. They draw your blood, and you pay their bill, and away you go.
Have you done it?
I have not. I just found out Thursday afternoon that LabCorp did this because I was talking to their technical department about getting it in our lab. And what they've done is first dibs, LabCorp, since they developed this, they have it in their own lab. And then the next bunch, they sell it to the government. And then after the government gets what they want, then the great big hospital systems get to buy the next batch.
Okay.
And we are next on the list after that because we have their equipment.
Okay.
Okay. So we won't have it in our lab until late June or early July.
Well, I'm curious. I want to know. I'm going
to
go.
But if you go direct to LabCorp and you're willing to pay the bill, they'll do it.
I'm willing to pay the bill.
Yep.
Are you going to wait or do you care?
I'm going to get mine done.
Yeah, me too. I want to know.
It's worth $50 to me to know if,
well, obviously.
If we got it.
Yeah, and we'll be doing them for free for all of our patients.
All of our patients. We're just going to put it into our normal panel. Anytime they come in and get a normal lab panel, they will also get a coronavirus antibody test.
Which our patients do, by the way, every 3 months approximately.
Yeah. Well, and I want to do it repeatedly because if they don't have antibody this time, they might next. And if they don't get it the next, they might catch it the 3 months after that. So longitudinal. Once you're positive, though, then I want to know how long does the antibody persist?
Of course.
Okay. So we're just going to throw it in their every 3 month blood test.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what. I am hoping Dr. Michael Gilbert is listening. This happened earlier today. We had a question come in and Dan Nelson was listening and I get a text from him. Anyway, we have a caller.
Is this caller gone? Is she still on the air or did she hang up?
No, okay, she's
all
gone.
Right.
Yeah,
all right.
She's gone.
I didn't hear her say goodbye. I just wanted to make sure that we weren't ignoring her and talking about other things.
No. we're done. I chopped her. Later, but she was okay with that. Here's a question. Some people they call in and they don't want to go on the air for some reason that makes them nervous. And that's okay. That happens every now and again. This person says, I'm 53 years old with left eye getting red and light sensitive and maybe vision decreasing a little over 3 days. Are there any drops I can take to help? Well, you'd think this person would want to go in and see an ophthalmologist like Dr. Michael Gilbert. But if he's listening, and he often does,
call in.
Please, Michael, Dr. Michael Gilbert with Northwest Vision Institute. That's right. I think we're going to get him. So call in and you can answer that question for us. All right. Here we go. We got to go to a break, and when we come back, hopefully we'll have Dr. Michael Gilbert with us.
I've been a patient for about a year and a half. I'm impressed with the program, and I've gained a lot of benefits from it. I owe a lot to the longevity program. It's been great.
Everybody's going out and having fun. I'm just a fool for staying home and having none.
See, he's sheltering in place. He should be going out and having fun.
That's right. Yeah, old lonesome me. It was so funny. This last week, Vicki walked into our room where she was reading. And she says, you know, you're home virtually 24/7. I'm not used to this. You're always out and about, appointments, lunches, business meetings, all sorts of stuff. And I love you dearly. She was being quite serious. She said, but you're here all the time. I'm not used to you being here all the time. And I'm not sure I like it when you see me just sitting around reading and watching TV because it's embarrassing. Being sheltered is not fun. And she said, I need my space. I need a little space. And I was just going out for a walk. And she said, would you walk real slow?
No, walk fast, but walk far. Yes.
Time.
Keep
so
going.
I went out for about a 2-hour walk and she appreciated it. Yeah.
You know, I had a friend back in my family practice days who he was a gynecologist, obstetrician, and he had been in practice about 25, 30 years, and he decided time had come to retire. And we all said goodbye and gave him a going away party, and he disappeared from the hospital. And he was gone about 6 weeks or so, and he showed up back at the hospital. And we asked him, what happened? Yeah. We thought you retired. Why are you working again? He said, I went home. So my wife said, I took you for better. I took you for worse. I am not going to take you for lunch. Go back to work.
Anyway, we actually are having a marvelous time, but there is enough is enough. We are really, as everybody is saying, we're tired of this stuff.
I had a couple of buddies over last night. We sat out on my deck in the open air, and my wife grilled. And, you know, we sat around and had some wine and tea and, you know, it was a great evening. They were going to come over about 5 o'clock. But yesterday morning, I got a text. I'm going to read you this text from one of my friends. He said, are you up for a cup of coffee? I have to get out of the house and can't wait until 5.
That's right.
So he came over to my office and sat on one of the couches.
That's right. You have, you and Seth both have, I don't have an office here, even though.
We offered you one.
Oh, yeah.
You turned us down.
It's going to be huge. But because I've always officed at home.
Yes.
40 years I've officed. I'm here every day, or at least yes. when people are here, I'm here every day, up and down the halls working projects. But you have a monster office. Seth has a monster office.
I have a big office. I have my computer desk, my paper desk, and then I've got two couches and a nice coffee table. And yeah, and so I've got plenty of room. You know, when I go to work every day, but I am sheltered in place in my workplace because there's nobody near me. I've got my CFO is across the hall from me, and that's about it. So yeah, so he came over and sat on one of the couches, and we kibitzed while I research stuff. So anyway,
Okay. Oh,
people
that's right.
cannot be locked down forever.
No,
you got to get out of the house.
No. That is absolutely true. Okay. Let me go back to the question that came in. And by the way, we've got Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. Michael, are you there?
Good morning. What a great morning.
Well, yes, it is. In fact, it's already, I wouldn't know it being in our cold little studio, but it says it's 79 degrees out already on my iWatch. So, wow. But I am so grateful. You know, you, especially with being locked in the house, you must be listening apparently to this show an awful lot. So I'm glad you were listening and called in.
Shows intelligence and good taste on his part.
and that need for a great intro, great summary on the state of the virus this morning. I absolutely agree with you. Great editorial in the Wall Street Journal this last week said, if we had known what we know now, would we really have locked down to the degree we did? Yeah.
And we would not have. But we didn't know. We thought it was a mass killer, so we reacted like we would to a mass killer.
That's right.
Turned out it was...
Sometimes it's better to be safe than sorry.
Oh, usually.
And usually. Yeah. Yes.
You know, one of the things about medicine is that we know that as human beings, we are error. We make mistakes. We're going to err. In medicine, it's always wise to err on the side of caution. You know, you would rather make a mistake on the side of caution than make a mistake that got people killed. So they did the right thing, knowing what they knew at the time. Just we know better now. Let's not make this mistake again.
Well, some governors are continuing to make the mistake.
Some governors are morons. What can I do? They're politicians.
Okay. Well, we better stop there or we'll get the FCC.
Moron is not a forbidden word. I can say moron.
Okay. Okay.
Well, hey, more on that later then.
That's right.
You got it. Michael, here's the here's the text or the question that came in. I'm 53 years old with my left eye getting red and is light sensitive and maybe vision decreasing a little over the last 3 days. Are there any drops I can take to help?
Very good. So if we're hearing everything, I heard nothing about a discharge, which is most common if it's either virus or bacterial. So I think the highest likelihood, especially with the light sensitivity, is that there's some inflammation inside the eye. That's nothing to fool with. So yes, there would be drops, but they'd definitely be prescription drops. And it's so important to have that looked at early because inflammation inside the eye is highly destructive. Inflammation anywhere in the body is destructive, but the tissues inside the eye are particularly fragile and they don't heal well if they've been damaged. Oftentimes there's just no repair. So being seen early, especially if that's gradually getting worse, would be very, very important. It could be as simple as an abrasion or something like that. But with that light sensitivity and some vision involvement, I'd be very concerned that there might be some inflammation that could be destructive and should be seen. Telehealth would not be an unreasonable place to start, but that's the kind of thing that really does need the microscope. I saw a patient just yesterday who has put up with redness, decreased vision in one eye, and irritation for about 6 months. He'd gone to primary care, got some drops, didn't work, then went to urgent care, got some drops, didn't work, and finally, when I looked at him, I said, they just simply haven't looked at the right structure. His eyelid had rolled in, so every time he was blinking, the eyelashes were scraping up and down the eye. And there was no way just prescription drops or non-prescription drops were going to help.
Yeah.
So I walk in the room, and I can see his problem that he has put up with for 6 months.
Oh, my goodness. Well, here's my concern when I got the question. First of all, I don't know if you know this or not, Michael, but I have an appointment with you this coming Friday.
Fantastic.
10:30 or something like that. Anyway, because of my problems, which we won't have to discuss now. But I'm concerned for this person. Doesn't say here whether it was a man or a woman, but I'm concerned that logically you'd think they would be calling their ophthalmologist. And you're open now, right?
A lot of people are concerned about coming in, but we actually have been looking at that. Very interesting, Pete, because I asked the question, is there a reason? What's the main reason that people are hesitant to come in? And it turns out fear for the virus was not number one. One thing that was a major component was change or loss in their health benefits. Number two was transportation. Either the patient themselves had child care issues or their ride, the seniors, their ride, their kids had problems with health care, or they were in a facility like a retirement center that had rules about emergency only. Now, for something like this, I would consider that urgent. So
yeah,
I think this person needs to call in and be seen, talked to today.
Well, that's a very good point, and I guess that's why I was so hoping you were available this morning. It's made for very good radio, very timely radio, because we can't expect you to be here sitting with us all day every Saturday, but at least you're listening when we need you. So that's
my
thank
pleasure.
You so much.
Now, addition to our office being open, seeing patients for wellness, well vision care, preventative care, as well as urgent problems. Fortunately, being the month of May, according to the governor's rules, we get to open up our procedures and surgery centers May 18th. So just as Bella Medica, our surgery center is going to open up that week. We have a waiting list of 200 patients who are planning on surgery in the near future to get back on that schedule. So we have some catching up to do, but fortunately we're more than up to that. We've added protocols, of course, but the shutdown was never about safety of having the surgery. The shutdown of surgery centers and procedures was to save PPE and to relieve stress and direct resources to the hospitals in case they needed it, in case this was as overwhelming as they feared initially. So fortunately, I think it's highly likely that both Bella Medica, our surgery center, and most elective surgery in the region will be able to start that week of May 18th.
Oh, that is really good news. Jerry, is that still the plan for Bella Medica for
us? Yeah.
We're the 18th. Okay.
Well, actually, no. We're still trying to understand the governor's last order. Whether it is the 18th or the 27th, because he said 3 weeks through the first level. But surgical centers can open up, and elective surgeries can, but aesthetic surgeries procedures are different.
So we're not in the same boat as Northwest Vision.
No. Okay. Bella Medica is in the boat with the spas and the salons
and
stuff.
And things like that.
So they come out at the end of the three-week period.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Michael. Basically, for surgeries, if you like cataract surgery, that kind of a thing.
Well, and we could do the hair restoration program where we're doing the injections and so on.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But the fractional lasers and the IPLs and the cosmetic things, those are more in a spa, we think, but we don't really know. Because
well, Jerry, surely,
as I look at my receding
hairline looking more like my father every week, I think that's semi-urgent.
Well, that's right. And apparently you've signed up to come in for...
Yes.
Yeah.
I have already told them, put me on the schedule for the PRP microneedling every month for 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll do it early.
Okay. Right. And then for those of you out there, even like me, I'm going in because I'm spending so much time, way more time in front of a computer than I have normally. I'm having real troubles by 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon with blurry vision. And I think, Michael, you think I may need to adjust my prescription and whatever. We don't know. That's why I'm going in. But folks, if you're struggling, you don't have to delay anymore. And you know now that Northwest Vision Institute is open, especially for just general care, eye exams and things like that. So give them a call. Here's their number, 425-450-2020. Again, that's 425-450-2020. And if you know that cataract surgery, for example, or laser or whatever, is in your potential future, boy, you need to get in line. You need to call them for that reason, too. So either way, 425-450-2020. And Michael, thank you so much. Glad you are listening as often as you do. Glad you called in. Thank you, sir.
It's a special part of my Saturday morning.
Okay, good.
Great.
Keep
Take
it
care,
up.
Sir.
Keep Bye-bye. It up. We'll be right back. When we come back, we're going to talk to Willie in Seahurst, who wants to know about vaccinations and COVID-19. And then Susan wants to know about recovery from surgery or an injury. And Bruce has a question about DNA testing. Interesting. We'll be right back.
I finally went and took that free test, and it didn't hurt. I went ahead and moved forward with genetic testing and inflammatory markers and stuff like that, so I'm encouraged to see what those results are. So how would this work for my father at 80 years old?
That fella just asked the question, would it be good for his, I think he said 80-year-old or 90-year-old father? We do get this asked a lot, don't we?
Sure.
And, boy, the answer is a resounding yes.
Yeah. It is a benefit of virtually everybody. The question, of course, is how much benefit? I can clearly get a higher level of function in a 50-year-old than I can in a 90-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah,
know? Yeah. But we can make virtually everybody better than they were. It's just a matter of how much better, how fast.
Yeah, yeah.
With how many interventions do we need? So, but yeah,
we've got some stories. We've had people call in on the air who have brought in their parents in their late 70s, 80s, and 90s, and they just gush with appreciation, because if it can bring better health, better energy, less pain, whatever, to a senior like that, is there anything better you could want to accomplish? Oh, wow. That is just a wonderful thing. So, again, let me just say that the health analysis appointments, yes, they're free. They're still free. The two free tests you can get. We're also adding a couple of free KN95 masks. Yes. We're also including the supplements, $100 of longevity supplements. And we have like 30 or 40 to choose from. So I'm sure there's something in there you're already paying for. You may as well get them free for us. And the only bad news, or frustrating news, not really bad, but frustrating news, is that we don't have any left in me, and that there's only 28 good through the middle of June. And so that's kind of a bummer, but hey, they're at least there now. At least they were this morning at 8 o'clock when I first announced that we had 28. And that's between our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, and Kirkland. So probably 9-ish or maybe 10 in each of our three clinics. So go to our website, lmclinic.com. Go to the website. Push on the button that says health analysis appointments and schedule your appointment. Click on the clinic that is good for you. The schedule will come up and you select which one you want. It's yours on a first come, first served basis. Please, do that right now because you don't want to go later this weekend or early in the week because they'll be gone. I absolutely guarantee you, virtually guarantee you, they won't be there by late Monday or Tuesday. Again, at lmclinic.com. Let's go to Seahurst and talk to Willie. Hello, Willie. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning to you guys. The
good
doctor
morning.
Has a great explanation on mutations that take place with people's immune systems, and certain viruses kind of get mutated and lessened in their effectiveness depending on the health of the immune system. I've read that the common flu vaccinations tend to be 30 to 40% effective. Do you hear those figures?
It depends on the year. What it is there's usually more than one influenza virus that's circulating in any given year. And what they do is they try to pick the one that they think is going to be predominant this year. And they make a vaccine for that one. Sometimes it only covers 20 to 30% of the infection. Sometimes it's very good. It'll cover 70, 80% of them. But the other factor is how competent is the person's immune system that is receiving the vaccine. See, typically older people don't have as responsive of an immune system. You give them a standard vaccine, they may not make a very good antibody response to the vaccine, which means they may still be fairly sensitive to the viral infection. That's why now, over the course of this last season, they've started producing a special vaccine for seniors that is four times more potent than the one for ordinary people.
Hmm.
So they've got four times as much antigen in it to stimulate those old people's immune system so they do a better job of making an immune response.
Yeah, but if the vaccination of itself to be most effective
has to be to the right virus.
It can't deal with a mutated virus, can it?
Well, it has to deal with the particular mutation that is circulating that year. Yes, you're right. And so, like I said, some years they get it right, and some years the one that they make the vaccine to is not the one that's circulating most prominently.
So,
but there are usually several versions.
Yeah. So the anticipated CV-19 vaccination, there's a flip of a coin that it might not be right. That is a shot in the dark.
Yes, there is some risk. But the question is, can you make it to a conserved portion of the virus? There are portions of the viral coat that are more malleable than others. Some areas undergo mutation pretty easy. Some are what we call conserved. In all of the known mutations, these areas seem to stay pretty much the same. We found a couple of conserved regions, for instance, in the influenza virus. And they are right now working on, although it's been kind of short-tracked or sidetracked because of the coronavirus, but we now believe we found some conserved areas in the influenza virus that don't change. And so they are working on what we think is going to be a universal influenza virus or influenza vaccine that will cover all of the known versions of the influenza virus. So
your professional medical opinion, why this particular vaccination has to have a biometric tracking ability?
Well, you know, we want one that we can actually measure and see how effective it is. And I mean, that's what the tracking is all about. You know, we want to be able to hit the virus. We want to be able to find out whose vaccine is effective and which ones are less effective. You know, there are like 60 different vaccines under development right now. And they won't all be equally effective. And the trick is trying to figure out which one we want to go into mass production with. And there's a certain degree of guessing by golly here. There just is. We've never made a vaccine to this virus before, and it's our first shot at it. I'm hoping that things all go right and we get a great vaccine right up front.
Wouldn't that be great? Oh my gosh.
I don't know anybody dumb enough to,
to
promise
it.
Yeah. So.
Don't you think this vaccination with this biometric tracking ability would be a key component to a giant surveillance state?
It could be. It could be. But, you know, there's more common, easier ways of surveilling the population. I mean, you know, you get places like London that basically have a closed circuit camera on virtually every corner. And with the proper AI software attached to it, you can track everybody in London every moment they're out of their house. They're doing that in China, all the major cities. You know, when I walk into China, they make me take off my hat because the scanners are scanning my face and they'll be able to track me everywhere I go in China. They'll know when I leave. They'll know when I go to the store. They'll know what stores I go to. They know whose houses I visit. You don't have to do biometrics in that way. Cameras work perfectly well with modern AI.
Hey, doctor, thank you so much for the call, but we're late. We're way past the break, but appreciate the call. Very, very good questions. All right. We'll talk to Susan and Bruce when we come back about DNA testing in the future, recovery from surgery and injury, and probably another question or two on top of that. Don't go far.
I went to a seminar 10 years ago. At that time, I noticed that my cholesterol had spiked, and plus I was going through menopause at the time, and there were just lots of changes going on. And once I got on hormones and got straightened out, I just saw a total change in everything. I mean, I saw results like within 2 weeks. It was truly a miracle, and so, you know, I'm hooked.
Come with me, my love, to the sea of love. I want to tell you how much I love you.
Okay, I just want to make something also very clear. As I said, we unfortunately only have 28, at least at 8 o'clock this morning, only 28 of the free health analysis appointments. And those are only available, none of them in May. Those are only available, those 28, in the first 2 weeks, actually through June 12th, Friday, at all three of our clinics, about 9-ish or so in each of our three clinics. Yes, you get the two free tests, the blood test and the InBody, and you get the free masks, the KN95 masks. Those are good. And also $100 of the free longevity supplements. Talk about a bargain. Anyway, that's why I guess they go so quickly. But I do want to tell you one thing, and I think this will be good news for some of you. If you can't, for some reason, make an appointment online, which most people can, 90% of people who make these appointments do them online on our website, lmclinic.com. Go there now, do it. But if you can't, you can call us Monday morning at 866-86-YOUNG, and we will put you on a waiting list so that we will call you the very first, we promise. We promise we will call you the very first if you get on that list, if for some reason you can't do it or we run out.
Well, and the reality is that when we make them that far in advance, you know, I mean, here we are in early May and we're making them up into almost the middle of June.
Yeah.
Things happen and some people need to cancel.
Yeah.
And if you're on that list, we can fill you in and get you in earlier.
That's right. So, make your appointment on lmclinic.com. Go there now. As I said, if the pattern holds from the last month or so, they'll be gone by the end of the day today. So go there now, very soon. Make your appointment. But if for some reason you don't, or you can't, or you want to talk to somebody first, you can call Monday morning, 866-86-YOUNG. And we promise to put you on a list so that when we do open up the next batch, say from, June 12th, so the 15th, Monday the 15th, and maybe for that week, we will call you first if you get on the list. 866-86-YOUNG. Do that. 866-86-YOUNG. Okay, let's go to Everett. Talk to Susan. Susan, welcome to the show.
Hi there. My question is, my dad is 92. About a month ago, my sister had a seizure, and he went to grab her, and she fell on him.
Oh, dear.
And his hip was broken. He was at the hospital for about 2 weeks. Then he's been at rehab. And he was very thin anyway. He's a real type A, huge achiever, you know, over his life.
Yep.
Very strong, but he's just very frail right now. And I'm concerned when I see him. I can't go in the building to see him, only talk to him outside the window. At the rehab, he's talking that, oh, he had a stroke, a minor stroke at the hospital, they said. And so he's had rehab for his speech, which sounds fairly good to me now. And then rehab he's having on also on his hip. But he looks so thin, and we were having trouble getting him to eat good food prior to this happening. And I'm just concerned that he's, I don't know what they give him. Maybe oatmeal or glucose or, I don't know. Can you help me out there to know? Because I just don't think he's eating enough.
Yeah. And it sounds from your description of his age and being very, very thin and how his hip broke when somebody fell on him, he's probably suffering from what we refer to as sarcopenia, in which the body has just reached a point that it will no longer grow lean tissues. So bone and muscle and ligament and all these things we need to stay mobile are just not being produced in adequate amounts. And food is not the underlying problem. The underlying problem is that his stem cells have been kind of poisoned and faded away, and they're not productive anymore. He's got a lot of anti-growth factors in his tissues instead of pro-growth factors.
Okay.
And, you know, that usually results in a very grim outcome. Survival numbers drop off precipitously in this situation.
There are
some quasi-experimental things that we could do, but none of it covered by insurance, certainly not covered by Medicare. You know, they would involve raising his growth factors, getting his anabolic hormone load up, using anti-senescent therapy to kill all the senescent cells in his body that are inhibiting growth, using exosomes to try to stimulate new growth factors with messenger RNA. I mean, there are things that can be done. But at his age, the percentage of improvement is going to be problematic. Nobody can guarantee anything. All we could do is give it our best shot and see what happens.
Are you there?
Yeah, I don't hear her anymore.
I'm afraid there's, like Jerry says,
so that's
just,
you know,
trouble.
That's recently, I mean, that's basically our best shot. We either accept what happens as happens, or we pull out all the plugs and try to do the experimental stuff and see what happens.
It's a sad way to end the program. We are glad you called, Susan, and we wish you and your father well. With that, we've got to say goodbye. 4 hours has come and gone. And again, a little reminder, if you want one of the free health analysis appointments, simply go to our website, lmclinic.com. If they're all gone, if they are, they may or may not be. If they are all gone, you call 866-86-YOUNG because you can get on a list and you will have first dibs at the appointments that come available the middle of June. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the sun.